As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisee said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And there's also a reading in Isaiah, chapter 55. And that's on page 743 in the Church Bible, chapter 55, starting at verse 1. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Evening, everybody. Put a guard over my mouth and over my mind, and may I just speak the beautiful truth of your word this evening. Amen. When Jesus saw the crowds, it says he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And Robbie Williams sang a song called Feel. And one of the verses is, "There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place." We've all got a hole in our soul. We've got a God-shaped hole in our soul. I went to town last week and went into a bookshop, a well-known bookshop, and I wandered past the spirituality and self-help section, and I've never looked in there before. I thought, why don't I have a look and see what there is in there? And what there is in there is a whole load of stuff. There are several books on witchcraft. There's books on horoscopes. There's a book on called Mediumship Made Simple. There are lots of things like tarot cards. There's a crystal Bible and a psychic Bible. And in amongst it all, there's a book called How to Choose a Name for Your Child. And there are no holy Bibles. Actually, when I did a talk last week in the morning, I said, you know, it's a pity there weren't any holy Bibles in there. Actually, I'm glad there weren't any holy Bibles in that section, because they don't belong in that section of the bookshop. As it happens, the holy Bibles, there were a couple of them, they were under reference and computing right at the back of the shop. You know, we occasionally get people on Alpha who are coming just to find out what we think, so that they can add it to their own spiritual mix of stuff. And they're lovely people, but they're doing what a lot of people are doing these days, which is building up a kind of me-focused or me-centered spirituality. Self-help, it says, and spirituality. It should be possibly called self-harm and spirituality, but self-help and spirituality is all about the kind of me. After the chat I did last week in the morning, Carol Feeburn, who was helping with one of the readings, came up to me. As you probably know, she lost her husband a few years ago. She went to a widow's group, and she said, do you know what, John? Most of the women on that widow's group were consulting mediums. Most of them were, not just one or two, but most were consulting mediums. So the kind of spirituality kind of landscape, I think, in this country is changing quite fast. In the 2001 census, 12% of people said they didn't have any religion. In the 2011 census, it was 25%. That's a quarter of British adults, so they don't have any religion. The men who come on Alpha, as you've just heard, most of them didn't know anything really about Jesus beforehand. Mike had been told a few bits during his early life, but most of them just didn't know. And most of the people going in the bookshop looking at the spirituality section don't know really what they're looking at. You know, people consulting mediums don't really know necessarily where that's going to lead. People don't know who Jesus is. There's a lot of ignorance, which means really that it resonates, doesn't it, with that reading we just had, where Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Nothing's changed, really. In this country, in a way, I think it's a little bit healthy, because in this country, the assisting voices, like, you know, the fact that we think this is a Christian country, or people get taught Christianity during RE and so on, and the BBC does quite a lot of Christian broadcasting, that used to kind of help, but those voices have all kind of been silenced. The curriculum, I hear, is changing again, so they're going to water it down even more soon. And really, it leaves the church as the only voice to speak the truth about Christianity. And that's how it should be. The church is the only voice, really, in this country left that's speaking the truth about Christianity. And Jesus' reaction to the harassed and helpless people walking around like sheep without a shepherd was to have compassion. And compassion has elements of pity, but pity kind of just walks by on the other side of the road. It has elements of sympathy, but compassion also, which is born of love, has elements of action. And Jesus' compassion led to action. And here's the little advert for you, if you like. One of the pieces of action that we can take in response to this ignorance that's out there is to invite someone to an Alpha, because Alpha is really, really good at telling people the truth about who Jesus is, why he died and rose again, how does he guide us, and so on, week by week for 12 weeks. And it's also a place where people can just ask questions and have the kind of fog and the darkness of ignorance replaced by the true light. And normal average intelligent people, like these guys you've just heard here, when they hear the truth, they think, that's great, nobody told me about this, why didn't I know about this before? I've got a little quote here from Ben Elton. comedian. He said, I think it's fairly well accepted that we live in a post-faith age, but people still need faith, and they find it in all sorts of ways. God famously made man in his image, but now I think we make God in man's image. People choose a religion, the God of my choice. And when you, you know, given that the scenery, the landscape is shifting, we find on Alpha, when we say something like, well, Jesus is the only way to the Father, you feel that you're saying something quite extreme, because the pick and mix spiritual landscape has kind of moved and we're still standing here. He is the way to the Father. And you have to take a bit of a gulp before you say that. The current culture is completely out of sync with this from Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Those are the words of an almighty, transcendent, majestic God. And they're completely at odds, really, with the current culture, which is based on a kind of rational thought that if I can't understand it, if you can't explain it to me how it works, I'm not going to believe it. And I'm so glad our God is, you know, immortal, invisible, God only wise, far higher than us, and his thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. And yet, you know, the wonderful thing about our God is that although he is far greater and far higher than we are, he reaches down to us, doesn't he? He sent his son to be born to a teenage single mother in a mucky stable 2,000 years ago in the back streets of Bethlehem. He calls us to have this wonderful intimacy with him. And he says right from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 3, where he says to Adam and Eve, where are you? You know, come to me. That invitation to come to him runs all the way through the Old Testament, through this Isaiah reading, through the words of Jesus. You know, come to me, all you weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Right through to the final page of Revelation. Come. God saying, come. And the wonderful thing about our faith is that God reaching down to us, transforming us when we have faith in him, builds us up as people, helps us to realize the wonderful potential he created for us. It affirms to us our status as children of God, as we sang just now, as adopted sons of God. With his Holy Spirit living in us, we can be empowered and gifted to do wonderful things as his fellow workers. You know, all this builds us up. And it's so ironic, isn't it, that the new spirituality, the pick-and-mix spirituality, which is me-centered, ultimately leads to dissatisfaction or walking down dark pathways, whereas our spirituality, the true spirituality, which is God-focused, leads to a transcendent God, finishes up having us reaching our marvelous potential. So Jesus, after he said that, said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He's always practical. And then in Matthew 10, the following chapter, he sends out the 12 disciples. Harvesting in the Middle East is very thirsty work. We say, I don't know the last time I felt actually thirsty in this country. Then often I say, do you want another cup of tea? Yeah, okay, I'll have another cup of tea, I suppose. But you're not thirsty when you drink another cup of tea like that. I've got an image of thirst from Africa, because we've been lucky enough to go on one or two safaris. And I remember I was in Botswana, sitting in a Land Rover by a waterhole, and it was the only source of water for a long way around. And the sun was starting to set. And out of the tree line came a couple of elephants, and then some more, and then some more. And eventually there were about 100 elephants coming out the tree line towards the waterhole. And as they got 50 yards from the waterhole, they started running faster and faster, and they went plosh into the waterhole. And with an almighty kind of sploshing sound, and they were rolling about, playing, trumpeting, the babies were falling over. And then they drank, and an elephant, after a long hot day in the Botswana semi-desert, you know, an elephant can drink 50 gallons of water. And that is thirsting. God's made us with an impulse for thirst. If we didn't know we were thirsty, we'd die pretty soon because our bodies need water. And he's given us an impulse too for spiritual thirst. For spiritual thirst. Come you who are thirsty. And the thing about thirsting is, you don't only do it once, do you? You're thirsty, you drink, you're satisfied, and then a bit later you're thirsty again, so you come and drink again. And I think the reason that this thirst analogy comes up so often in the Bible is that God's saying he wants us to keep on coming back to him, to keep on thirsting. When I started doing Alpha 3 years ago, I looked at myself and I said, what am I going to say if someone says to me, what's so good about being a Christian? Do I know what it is that's really good about being a Christian? And I'll confess to you, having been a Christian for, at the time, 39 years, I had to sit down and think, you know, because you sort of take it for granted to be a Christian a long time. And I realized that I needed to get closer to God. And I prayed for thirst. I prayed that I would thirst for him, and I did. And I've got close to him, and I've actually grown as a Christian far more since I started leading Alpha than I did in many years before. And maybe we should ask ourselves that question. I know a lot of us here tonight are close to God, but if someone came up to you and said, okay, Bill, what's so good about being a Christian? Can you tell them? Can you tell them? Just going back to this Isaiah reading here. Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And by the way, the psychic industry in this country is worth £40 million, apparently, and your labour on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. That's what we can offer people who come on Alpha, who come searching for God. And then there's this lovely, at the end of this Isaiah passage, there's this lovely image of the rain, the snow, coming down from heaven. They don't return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So it is with my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The seed we sow goes out like word from God's mouth, and it does accomplish what God desires and achieves the purpose for which he sent it. There's a lovely story. I'll tell this. Lee told me this story the week he became a Christian. He said that he always remembers when he lived on the estate as a little boy going up to the football field for football practice, and a lady from this church probably 30 years ago was up there with an easel telling the boys Bible stories. And I think Lee, a neighbour, told her to stop because they were brainwashing you. And as far as Lee is concerned, nothing then happened very much for such 25, 30 years. And he's now come to faith, and he's remembered that all his life. And that seed that was sown in his heart 25, 30 years ago, as seed goes out from God's mouth, has come to fruition. So when we go around planting the seed, we know that it will come to fruition. We may not see it, but it will. And so we can be happy sowers and happy reapers. And we can just kind of rejoice as we read these last few words from Isaiah 55. It says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Thank you.